This is one of my favorite feasts. The last Sunday of Easter, Pentecost Sunday. And I've been kind of preparing you for this feast as we've been going through the Easter season, and especially last Sunday with the Feast of the Ascension. And we talked about how Christ, after he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, he continued to walk around and appear to his disciples and continue to teach and for 40 days. And then he ascended on Ascension Thursday. And then 9 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So 9 days later, remember that was the original novena, those 9 days in prayer after the Ascension when the apostles gathered around the Blessed Mother, were praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which came on Pentecost, which is actually a word for 50 days. So if you have the 40 days after the resurrection that he ascended, and then 9 days, you get 49, and then that Sunday is 50. So Pentecost, which actually was a Jewish feast originally, it was 50 days after the Passover. And of course, for us, the Passover is Easter. And so we're celebrating the fulfillment of a Jewish feast, which was simply 50 days. But for us, the greater significance that this is the day 9 days after Christ ascended. So we celebrated last weekend Christ going back to the Father with his glorified body, and then the Father and the Son sending the Holy Spirit upon us. That's what we're celebrating today. And because this is the vigil of Pentecost, we have special readings, but tomorrow morning, the first reading for Mass of Pentecost itself is from the Acts of the Apostles, and you hear the story of how the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in the appearance of tongues of fire, that the Holy Spirit appeared as tongues of fire over the apostles and enabled them to go out and to proclaim the good news. Remember, Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until I send the Holy Spirit, he said. He said, wait until the Father and I send the Holy Spirit, give you that power, and then go to the corners of the world and proclaim, preach the truth, preach that there is forgiveness of sin. And so that's what happened on Pentecost Sunday. What I think is kind of interesting is we see some cool imagery in this feast. The first one, actually our altar server Justin pointed out our first one when I was getting vested for Mass, and he asked what color we're in, and I said we're in red. And he said, why are we in red? I thought red was for martyrs. And I said, very good. Red is normally for martyrs. But the other time red is worn is for the Holy Spirit. So normally red is just worn for martyrs, except for Masses of the Holy Spirit. So for instance, at confirmation Masses, the bishop normally wears red because it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of those tongues of fire. It's a symbol of fire, right? So red is the color for the day. And in fact, Pentecost is the only Sunday where you wear red. The only Sunday in the entire church year where you wear red. Because otherwise, red is a symbol of blood. We wear it on the exaltation of the Holy Cross. We wear it on Good Friday. And we wear it on the Feast of Martyrs. But other than being a symbol for blood, it's a symbol of fire. That the Holy Spirit gives us the power, gives us a fire, a spark to go out and to preach. And this is why Jesus said to his apostles, wait until my Father and I send the Holy Spirit upon you and then go out and preach. Wait until you've received that divine spark and then go. And I'm going to give you another liturgical tidbit here. You guys know that I celebrate the Byzantine Rite as well as the Roman Rite. So, of course, this is the Roman Rite of the Catholic Church, but there's also the Byzantine Rite of the Catholic Church. And in the Byzantine Rite, we did that Byzantine Mass here for Good Friday. In the Byzantine Rite, their colors work different. Do you know that they only wear green once a year? We wear green all the time in the Roman Rite. Green is the color for ordinary time. So we wear green most of the church year. And then white for, you know, Easter and Christmas seasons, and sometimes gold and silver for Easter and Christmas, but white and red for martyrs and purple for Advent and Lent. They wear green only once a year, and do you know what time the year it is? It's for Pentecost. They wear green once a year on Pentecost. And the symbolism there is that the Spirit is not so much the fire. They wouldn't deny that the Holy Spirit appeared as tongues of fire. The Byzantine Rite doesn't deny that, but the Byzantine Rite focuses on the new life, the growth that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's why they use green. Green is that symbol of vegetation, of new life growing. And I thought to myself, as I was kind of preparing for this homily, I was thinking, you know, Holy Spirit does both of those things. The Holy Spirit sets us on fire and causes that new growth. And I just got thinking of even just in nature. My mind just kind of started wandering with this thought of fire and growth and red and green. And I was just kind of putting all this together in my head. And I was thinking, you know, this is exactly what we see in nature. I remember being up in Glacier National Park last year, last summer, and you know how they light part of it on fire. They do controlled fires. If there isn't a forest fire already, I remember there was one part of Glacier that hadn't had a forest fire in a while, and they were actually going to do a controlled burn because they needed that new growth. Stuff was getting old, and they were going to do a controlled burn to burn part of it, not for the sake of destroying, but for the sake of causing new growth. And I just got thinking, gosh, that is a perfect analogy of what we are called to do as Christians, what we're called to do with the power of the Holy Spirit, living now in that Pentecostal time where Jesus is no longer walking around with us as he was with the apostles, but now he is made present to us sacramentally, physically present in the Eucharist, made present to us in the Word, made present to us in each other, but always made present to us in any of those ways through the power of the Holy Spirit. That it's the Holy Spirit that makes him physically present in the Eucharist. It's the Holy Spirit that makes him present in you and me. It's the Holy Spirit that makes him present when we read the Scriptures. It's the Holy Spirit that continues to make Jesus Christ present to the world. I just got thinking, gosh, that's exactly what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to receive the Holy Spirit, that spark that we receive in confirmation especially, and to go out into the world and to set the world on fire. Jesus Christ says this in the Gospels, right? He says, I have come to set the world on fire, and how I wish it were already burning. I love that line of Jesus. I have come to set the world on fire, and how I wish it were already ablaze. But it's not a type of fire for the sake of just destroying. It's a fire that renews. It's a fire that causes new growth. That's our job as Christians. Our job is to go out and to light this world on fire, to burn, to burn away all of the falsehood that's out there, to burn away all of the lies and the guilt and the shame, all the falsehoods, all of the heresies. Our job is to burn through our preaching, through our example. Please don't actually light anything on fire. Don't light your Protestant friend on fire and say, Father John told me to burn all of you. No, don't do that. Light the world on fire through your example, through your preaching. But that's what we're called to do. We are called to light this world on fire, to light the world on fire, to get rid of not just heresy and falsehood and deception and all of those things that are floating around our society today, everything that our society says is right that's wrong, everything that our society says is good that's bad. We're called to get rid of all of that, but we're also called to burn away all of the shame, the guilt. We're called to tell people that, yeah, maybe you did sin, but there's forgiveness and God loves you. And to proclaim to them this message of mercy, how appropriate that we're in this year of mercy that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, declared. Mercy doesn't mean you didn't sin, you didn't commit anything bad. Mercy means you did, and God loves you and wants to forgive you anyways. That's what we're called to do. We're called to light the world on fire, but not for the sake of destroying, but for the sake of causing new growth. And I just offer that example to all of us today. The last thing I would say is just to very quickly tie in that first reading that we heard. You know, at the Vigil Mass, we have these four different options for a first reading. And in fact, traditionally, if we did the proper Vigil of Pentecost, we would have done all four Old Testament readings with responsorial psalms and prayers after each and every single one of them. But we're allowed to pick just one for the abbreviated Vigil Mass. And the one that I wanted to pick was from that first reading from the book of Genesis, where we heard the story of the Tower of Babel. And what were those original, this is the very beginning of Genesis, chapter 11. And it said everyone was still living in one place and they were all speaking one language. Now, whether or not that is scientifically true is not the point here. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's not the point here. The point here is that what happened in this story, they say, let us make a name for ourselves. Listen to their motivation. Their motivation is, let's make a name for ourselves by building this really big tower. And then God speaks up and says, nope, not going to happen. I'm going to confuse their language. I'm going to cause them to babble, which is where the name came from, the Tower of Babel. I'm going to confuse their language. They're going to all start speaking different languages, and that will cause them to scatter throughout the world because they won't understand each other anymore. Because they weren't trying to build a name for God, they were trying to build a name for themselves. And so God scattered them. And here in Pentecost, we hear, again, if you come back to church tomorrow morning, or if you look at the readings online for the Mass for Pentecost Sunday itself, you hear the story of the Acts of the Apostles when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in tongues of fire, and all of the various people gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost were hearing the apostles speak in their own language. It was an undoing of what happened at the Tower of Babel. It was an undoing. The Holy Spirit came not to scatter people, but to bring them together, to give them that divine spark, and to send them back out to build a name for God, to build a name for Jesus Christ, not to build a name for themselves. That's what we're called to do. We are called to receive that spark, to go out into this world, to give a name, to build a great name for God, to preach the truth, to let that spark go in us to the corners of the world as the apostles did, and to ignite the world, to light the world on fire, and allow that new growth to come.